Welcome to the Outlet Online Experience. I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church. And wherever you're watching in the world, we are so glad to come to you. Amen, friends. All right, before you're seated, I want you all to air high five, because we are COVID friendly. Air high five five people, and then you can be seated. And if you know the lyrics to this hymnal, don't be afraid to sing along in the house of God today. Don't act like y'all don't know what's playing right now, because if you don't, you ain't been in no cookout, and we need to pray for you. So can y'all go ahead and help me preach the sermon today? It's what? Come on, type it in the comments. I want to see if you know the song. All right. What's up with this carnal church? My Lord. Secular music in the house of God after the worship song. Oh no, I don't know what's going on here. But that is the title of today's message, Joy and Pain. We're continuing our series, part two of Infused Joy. And if you would join me in the book of Philippians, chapter 1 as our text. Philippians chapter 1 as our text. Philippians chapter 1. Amen. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just want to go over a couple of things that we put in for you as we're working with the facility to find the best visual medium to begin to bring in here each week that will be a blessing to Upstairs Atlanta as well as assist us. We have made sure that all of our notes are in the YouVersion Bible app. And so if you have the Bible app, you can just search for the Outlet Community, and you should see all of our notes in there on today. Amen. If you're online, the link is inside of the caption. And online family, make each other feel at home. Let us know where you're watching today from. One thing that I love about the power of technology is that we are not limited to just being here in one location. We can be in different places, because I believe the church should be leading the charge of bringing the word wherever people are, as opposed to shaming people for being or not being somewhere. Amen. I need a stronger amen. 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 Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to start reading at verse 3 through 5 and also verse 7. In verse 8, and this is Paul writing. He says, and this is truly a pastor's heart toward the end of his life, after all of the things that he has been through, after all of the trials that he had to overcome, he was able to say, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. And for anybody who's in leadership, let that be your prayer, that every time you see those who are helping, those in which you are leading, may you be able to give thanks to God for them. Even if they get on your nerves, still thank God for them. It says, verse 4, whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. Everybody say, with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Drop down to verse 7. We fleshed out verse 6 on last week. Verse 7, it says, so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. This is the key here. Because God knows how much I love you and how I long to be, how I love you and long for you with tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for allowing us to spend time in your word, allowing us to open up the truth of this beautiful letter that Paul has written toward the end of his life. Help us to capture the spirit behind the words. Lord, there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. So whatever need that's present, whatever hearts that is here, may you open it and allow it to be used for your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Joy and pain. As I began to look at today's text, I began to put myself into the context of which Paul is writing, which I'm going to encourage you all to do over the course of this month. It helps you to be able to feel what he's writing as opposed to just simply reading what he's writing. And you're talking about a man who's dealing with a false imprisonment, who's having to defend himself against persecution that he didn't cause himself to be a part of, and ultimately he would be put to death. But before he left, through all of the pain of disappointment, of persecutions, of trials, he was able still to find joy. In the midst of all of the news reports, in the midst of everything that's going on in our world, in the midst of all the pressures that you face in your life, all of the decisions that you have to make, one thing you need to be sure of is that in all that you do, you need to make sure that joy is infused with it. Because one thing is for certain in life, as great and as wonderful as life can be at times, there will be equally pressuring things that come against you at the same time. Haven't you noticed that it seems like once you're on a stride, you don't stay there too long without something popping up? And something disrupting your natural way of living, and something disrupting what you saw, or any planners, any type A's, where you got to make sure everything is listed to the T. Like, it's got to be at 7:57, we're going to do this. At 8:14, we're going to do that. And if you've lived any amount of time, you have realized that your plan has gone out the window. But when our plans go out the window, we have to realize there's a bigger purpose that's greater than our own natural plans. Each of us have a purpose. Each of us have a reason. Each of us have a call. And the Lord is calling right now for someone to pick up in Jesus' name. I was reminded of Great Britain's Katarina Johnson Thompson, who had a disappointing injury during the 200-meter heat of the women's heptathlon in the Tokyo Olympics. And when I began to dig into her story, the headline said that, you know, woman finishes heptathlon after injuring her leg. And, of course, I want to know what was the story behind it. You see, she was a previous champion. She was a world champion at that. And in December, she suffered an Achilles heel injury. And when she rebounded from her Achilles heel injury, she is now in the moment in which she had been training. She's in the moment that she had been preparing for her entire life. And she suffers a debilitating injury. And when I began to read further and further into the backstory behind what was her mindset to get up and keep going, her mindset was that I've come too far to let this opportunity pass. And some of us get caught up into thinking that because it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen, because it didn't look like the way I thought it was going to look like, then maybe it's not true. You have come too far in your life to give up on the count of a technicality. We have to be like this runner and this athlete from Great Britain who said, even when I'm injured, I'm still going to keep moving. Even when I'm hurting, I'm still going to keep moving. You see, the world is looking for an example. It's looking for someone that says, you and I are going through the same things. You and I have the same type of pressure, but you respond different than how I responded. See, if we act like everybody else, there's nothing to this story that we believe. I'm telling you all, if we have given our life to the things of God, if we've given our life and sacrificed things that we used to enjoy that weren't any good for us, if we've given our life for what God has called us to do, then it's our responsibility to allow that word to be at work within us. It's our responsibility to allow that word to pick us up when we fall down. But I really believe I'm on assignment today to come to where you live at, to come to what's going on in your life, because the reality is that as a whole, the body of Christ has been under attack, sometimes from its own members. Sometimes it's from external pressures. But one thing is for certain, no one has left this season unscathed. I can go back to the beginning of when we all had to go into the shutdown and we began to do our rounds and check in with everybody. The reality was there wasn't one person who was not going through. Yet the mirage that was put up because we were apart was that what I'm facing is isolated to just me. And so what Satan wants us to think, and also Western Christianity, because Western Christianity is not true Christianity. It's the American version of the Bible, which has a little bit of oppression and supremacy in it, but we'll talk about that on another day, all right? All right. But the true version of the Bible, the true relationship that we have in Scripture is that this word was meant to be lived in community. We all need each other. The question I want to ask you is, who gets to look into the secret areas of your life and gets to say things that make you feel uncomfortable? Get to ask you questions that you don't like people asking you. The Western version of Christianity has us to believe that when we're born again and when I'm doing what's right, I'm not going to have any problems. But true kingdom will teach you that the greater the promotion, the greater the pain. I want to talk to some leaders in here, those who are leading the charge, and you're having to stay encouraged. Haven't you noticed during this season, everybody's pulling on you for a word. Everybody's pulling on you for the joy you have, good vibes only. Everybody's pulling on you, and in the back of your mind, you're like, but who's going to pour into me? And so we want to look at these forces of joy and pain. Because I believe at the outlet, our responsibility is to empower, equip, develop, and deploy people to thrive in their personal lives, in their local church, and within their community and business networks. In essence, we're raising up people who are going to lead today. The times of church where it's just the pastor, and you got to depend on pastor to pray. You got to depend on pastor for the word. You got to depend on pastor to pick you up. Those days are over. Because at any moment, this is real, at any moment, the whole world can shut down again. But if the world happens to shut down again, I made a commitment to God that if you scatter us again, we're deploying hundreds of leaders to lead wherever they are. And what Satan means to quiet, God will begin to accelerate. This season of COVID was an accelerant. That's why you're looking around for what used to be normal and it's not there anymore. The time you thought you had to get yourself together, the time you thought you had to get your plan together, that got sped up. And now is the time. Now is the great separation between those who believe and those who don't. I really believe I'm speaking prophetically here today. We may not know the hour nor the minute, but God said you will know the time and you will know the season. What I'm noticing in this world that we're in, especially in the church world, it's a very complex season right now in church. If leaders don't know the pace, they'll miss their provision and protection. And so if I immediately go back to what used to work, I'll miss what God is doing right now. What you used to rely on does not work anymore. Your plan does not work anymore. And that level of grief of separating something that you have already hitched yourself to because of an illusion of stability, that causes grief, which is pain. A lot of us are grieving what used to be, but is not anymore. A lot of us overnight went from being regular individuals to now having to deal with the weight that comes from leading others. Anybody between 30 and 40 in here? I got to make an announcement between 30 and 40 in here. We the new grown-ups, y'all. I hope y'all know that. We the new grown-ups. The folks that we say, oh, they grown up. No, it's y'all. Y'all are now getting promoted on your jobs. You're now getting some positions with weight. You are now the pillars of wherever you are. So to expect someone else to carry you that's not God is setting yourself up for disappointment. But in order to navigate the pain that comes from simply living, we need to understand how to access joy. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, what I want to do right now is I'm good at giving some pop quizzes, and we're going to give another one here today. And so this is a pop quiz. When it comes to joy, we're talking about the spiritual force of joy. Last week, we said that joy is the spiritual force that regulates our emotions. Joy is the spiritual force that regulates our emotions. It's hedwa in the Hebrew. Is joy a feeling or is joy a fruit? Is it a feeling or a fruit? In the chat, go ahead and put your answer in the chat. If you believe that joy is a feeling, raise your hand. It's okay. Stand in your truth. All right, so we got three in here, and we'll see who's online saying what, who has that there. Who believes that joy is a fruit? All right, let's see who's right. James chapter 1, verse 2. New Living Translation says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Wait a minute. When tests and trials and troubles come my way, I should consider it an opportunity of not baseline joy, but great joy. All right, the Hebrew or the Greek word rather is pronounced yada, but it's spelled chara. So write in your notes, C-H-A-R-A. I kept hitting that little phonetic spelling the whole time, like it can't be. But it's pronounced yada, but it's spelled chara, C-H-A-R-A. And the word Greek word chara is a feeling produced by favorable circumstances. So who said that joy was a feeling? All right, I had three bold people. Be bold, because y'all see right here in the Greek, it bears you out for the moment. Put a finger in James chapter 1, and let's go to Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, we're going to look at a list of what's known as the fruit of the Spirit. This is interesting. I want you all to follow me on this. Follow me on this. So we see already in James 1 and 2 that when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great yada, great chara. But it says in Galatians 5, 22, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of what? Oh, my. The kind of fruit in our life. The fruit in our lives is love. And guess what this Greek word is? Yada or chara. So, wait a minute. Hold up. You mean to tell me in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says that when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity to feel great excitement. But in Galatians 5, 22, it's saying that the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of chara, of joy in our life. And this word chara in this sense is an action or a fruit that can be engaged regardless as to how one feels. So joy is multifaceted. Joy can be a feeling and at the same time be a fruit. So what is God trying to communicate to us about this spiritual force of joy? Whether you feel like it or not, every day that you are awake is an opportunity to feel and experience great joy, whether or not you want to. Some days we just don't feel it. I don't feel like reading my Bible every day. Thank you. I got some normal person that's going to talk to me this morning. Maybe you feel like that at home. Some days I don't feel like reading my Bible. Look, COVID got so bad during online services, I didn't even want to come to church and I was speaking. But joy is not based on if I'm in the mood or not. And the crazy thing about these messages is that these messages, I have to live them before I preach them. Y'all, yesterday, if it could go wrong, it did. All day. To the point I was out my rhythm. You know, you got to flow. Y'all got to flow before a big presentation. You got to, you know, what you do. All out my rhythm. All out my flow. Couldn't sleep all last night because just so concerned about all the different things that were going on. All the different things that just came up out of nowhere. Didn't feel it. But I woke up this morning and stuck to my regimen of before Sunday morning happens, I got to get a quick workout in. And one thing that I'm learning and really training my body to do is that I need to have tougher workouts in private to deal with the pressure that happens in public. When I realized that if you can just beat your own self up, be your own champion, be your own coach, whenever things happen to you in life, you're like, it fails in comparison to what I've already experienced in private. So I got up this morning and I did my quick workout. And after my workout, or during my workout, I had a worship playlist that I just had going. And last night when I went to bed, I didn't feel it at all. But I began hearing the scriptures read to me. And that's why it's important what you take in your ears and what you allow to dominate your eyes. And look, y'all, it's sometimes you got to cut off the television and you got to cut off the push notifications. You have to protect your peace. And I just kept hearing about, there was a song that came on from Maverick City that kept saying, you keep on getting better. You keep on getting better. It was saying, you are good. You are good to me. And it began talking about how you've never failed. You never will. And I began thinking about it in my entire life. Wait a minute, the stuff that I have pressure about is the stuff that I prayed for. I think sometimes in our mind, we forget about the pressures we face are really answers to prayers we pray. And so God has given us the joy, which he said in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, which is our strength to push through the pressure and walk in everything that you have believed for. Come on, church, we've got to be stronger than just falling down when adversity hits. We've got to be stronger than just breaking away when some tests and trials happen. We have to choose to use what James 1 and 2 says, that when troubles come up, it's an opportunity to experience great joy. Because God, if you brought me out of it before, God, it's been far worse than what I'm complaining about right now. Come on, get real. We get real bougie when we have some time between miracles. But you know where God has brought you. You know what he's done in your life. So joy is a feeling produced by favorable circumstances, which means that you need to expect favor to go before you. But when you feel like favor's not going before you, that's why joy is a fruit. It's an action that can be engaged regardless as to how one feels. Drop down to verse 3 in James chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." As I broke that scripture down in the Greek, it says, when you're able to take a great deal of punishment from evil people and circumstances while able to maintain a great attitude, you will experience endurance with excitement. You will experience endurance with excitement. The ones who separate themselves from mediocrity are able to stay strong and excited at the same time. You know, listen, I still run by myself, and me and my wife, we run together because we run about the same. We still slow, all right? We not fast runners.
It's all right. We're getting better, ain't we, baby? We're getting better. We're getting better. Sweating and getting better. Listen, I tell you what. All right. See, there's some people you just can't run with. Because after 3 miles, I want you to look like we're on the edge of eternity. Like we could just cross over and expire at any moment because this run is so hard. I ain't got time for somebody at 3 miles going like, oh, we're just getting started. I don't have time. I'm not there yet. I'm not. It reminds me of working out with Russ, who's sitting in here today. Russ has me going through the 300 workout. Russ can finish the 300 workout. I barely can. There was a couple of paramedics and everything like, are you sure that young man's okay? Yeah, he's just fat. You know, just let him go. just let him go. But you know you're getting stronger, or you can go longer without changing your attitude. That's how you know spiritually I'm getting stronger, because I can take a licking. I can keep on ticking. You can take a little adversity. You start laughing at it. You might be a little upset. Because I ain't going to lie. I've been pushed recently. And for whatever reason, the great psalmist Moneybagg Yo said, I looked at my watch. I got time to say. That's for the younger people. Y'all understand. We can keep it gangster. We can keep it cordial. How you want to go about it? All right. But we all have those moments where you're pushed to the edge. But how do you maintain? How do you maintain? Go to Hebrews chapter 12 as we close today. How do you maintain? And this is what it's all about. Hebrews chapter 12. How do I maintain my excitement in the midst of adversity? How do I maintain a good attitude when stuff is not going my way? How do I experience joy and pain and grow from what I'm walking through? The answer is in Hebrews 12. 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses, there goes that community piece. I'll be coming back next month talking more about this. We're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. I feel like I need to sit right here. There are people cheering for you, but they're enemies to your calling. It's weights and sin. Weights are the gray areas of your life. Weights are the lack of ethics in any area, even if you believe it's small. It's the small foxes that ruin the vine. How does the vine get ruined? The small foxes begin gnawing at the foundation, and they cause the fruit to fall on the ground and not be enjoyed. Your small vices. It's your small vices that we need to be mindful of. So the writer of Hebrews he's talking to us as athletes. You can be an okay athlete, or you can be an exceptional one. You can be an okay person, or you can be an exceptional one. And I just, on good record, believe that everyone under the sound of my voice wants to be an exceptional person. See, if you got to justify your actions by saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as, you fail to realize you're still not as good as Christ. And it says, and also the sin that so easily trips us up. The reality is all of us have blind spots. We do not need to sit in here and act like we don't. All of us know where we're weak at. all of us, every last one of us know. You know that if you respond to that email immediately, you already know it's going to be nice nasty. You already know. You know you need to calm down. You need to take some time. You need to write out in a journal somewhere else what you really wanted to say and get it out and feel better, rip it up, and then be, well, upon further consideration. You know, you can be real professional. But you know. Y'all know in marriage when that one clap back is just one too many? You already know when you out there. You know you out there and you dead wrong and you out there, but you like, let's go for it. And don't you hate when you dead wrong and you know you dead wrong, but your pride won't allow you to say you dead wrong? Amen. We know our vices. If you want to be exceptional, stay away from your vices. If you want to be average, get comfortable with them. But average only keeps you living frustrated and below your creative potential. And it says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do we do this? By keeping our eyes on Jesus. I just don't have time to flesh out all of that one line means. But whenever you feel like ain't nobody else doing as good as I'm doing, ain't nobody else putting forth as much effort as I'm putting forth, think about Jesus, who died for people who would be ungrateful. Anybody ever go out your way, and mom, please don't raise your hand, and sacrifice for someone, and you felt like your gift was trampled upon and not received with the same level that you gave it? Anybody, by a show of hands, you could raise your hand, mother, it's okay. Glory. How did you all feel when you saw your gift not being appreciated? You felt what? Y'all can talk back to me. In the comments, talk back to me too. How did you all feel? We got betrayal. Yes. Oh, you want them to put some respect on your name. I see you. She said, I felt, that was as gangster as it gets. Like, I felt disrespected. Like, okay, I felt that. I felt whatever was going on. They really did that. And I'm sorry. Anybody else? Hurt. Angry. Waste of time after all I've done. It wasn't good enough. You mean to tell me I could have kept it then? And ain't nan one of y'all said y'all died for any nan nobody. So when you feel like you can take the high road out, consider Jesus. When you feel weighted down, consider Jesus. When you feel like this temptation is too tough, consider Jesus. When you feel like giving up, consider Jesus. When you feel like you're having a bad day and no one understands, consider Jesus. The very people that he was dying for were saying, I hope you die and burn in hell. They said, give us this sinner, Barabbas. Take away this evil man who is coming to pay for all my sins. Consider Jesus. That is how we live with joy and pain and live with endurance, with excitement. Amen. Can we pray today? Father, you are so great and you are so good. I just thank you for allowing us the opportunity to worship together. No matter where it is, no matter where we are, God, you are here. And we've touched on so much, and just by the Spirit of God, Lord, I sensed your presence here today. I sensed that you were talking to individual people just about the pain that they're carrying right now. And whether you're here in person or whether you're just watching me online today, if there's some pain in your life that you're like, God, I need to lay this at the altar.
I'm not sure about what to do next, but I know one thing. I cannot carry this weight, this pain, this hurt anymore. God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your joy. So if that's you today, I want you to pray with me. And for those who are here, just as a sign of faith, as a sign of freedom, as a sign of I'm taking the right step forward. If today you're like, listen, God, I've got pain that just keeps coming up. It keeps me up at night. It keeps me worried through the day. I need to deal with this. God, I need to exchange this pain for your joy. If that's you, could you just slip up your hands as a point of contact with eyes closed and heads bowed? Your hands going up all over this room today. In the name of Jesus. You can put your hands down. Lord, I'm trusting in the same grace, the same love, the same power that came to each of us at our lowest moments, at our times where we may have been betrayed, at the times in which we have betrayed. Heal the wounds, the traumas, the hurts, the offense. We surrender that to you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are all under the sound of my voice and even those who are at home. Holy Spirit, I trust you with their hearts. I trust you with their lives. Cover them now. Help them to be better versions of themselves. Help them to regain the joy of the time in which they first believed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For those who are watching as well as those who are in here today, if you prayed with me, I'd like to know just a way to be accountable, to walk alongside, to keep you encouraged throughout the week. You can simply text, I've prayed with you, to the number 770-667-4899. Again, that's 770-667-4899, and that just allows you to just have a discreet way of just saying, hey, listen, I'm walking through this life with you, and I'd appreciate further prayer, and I appreciate just you helping me to navigate what's going on right now. For those who, you know, may not be into the text message, we have a station at the very back when you exit today with info cards, which allow you to get prayer, request information. You can just simply drop it in the blue receptacle that's in the back. If you use a pen, that is your pen. Do not drop it back on the table. That belongs to you. And you drop it in the receptacle and you're able to go. And we will be able to field that as well. Amen. Before we close out today, again, we want to start in praise and worship. And we want to end in worship. One of the highest forms of worship is through our giving. And so we want to open up this opportunity first for you to partner with us concerning your finances. And there's four ways to give here at the Outlet Community. You can give by texting the number 73256 and the letters TOC, and then there'll be a gift that comes, or not a gift, ooh, I wish, amen. There'll be a link that comes back to you where you can complete your gift at that time. You can also give online at theoutletcommunity.com/give. You can also give by Zelle. And the email address for Zelle is give@theoutletcommunity.com. And the fourth way is by offering envelope. Again, it's over by the blue container. You can utilize an offering envelope. Just place it in that secured Dropbox, and we will process your gift for tax purposes. And while you all are preparing your hearts today as it relates to giving, I just want to let you all know some exciting things that are going on today, and just want to acknowledge some special people here. First, I want to acknowledge my mama on my wife's side, Paula. If y'all give it up for Ashley's mom, Paula, y'all can see that's her twin. Yep, mama-in-law here. Hey, mama-in-law. She's here today, and also a very special guest. All of you are special guests. Thank you all for coming. We have Emmanuel and Justina Dix of Summer Hill Community Ministries. You all may have heard us talk about partnering with them. They are here. God bless you all. We believe in what they're doing in the community. And so at the outlet, we support Summer Hill Community Ministries and their endeavors. And so we're coming through back to school, and we're going to get ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we're just grateful to God for the partnership that we've been able to establish over these last 3 years. Time is flying. On next month, September, we are beginning our Outlet Leadership Institute. And this is something that is near and dear to my wife and I's heart. We believe that we need to raise up more leaders regardless as to what church affiliation, regardless as to what sphere of life you're in. We believe that we need to specifically empower you as a leader. And it is a two-year course that has 8-week semesters, 1 8-week semester in the fall, 1 8-week semester in the spring, and then we do it again in the second year. We believe with all of our heart that God has placed the Outlet Leadership Institute within our church for a reason, and enrollment has opened back up. And so if you'd like more information about how to be a part of the Outlet Leadership Institute, we have drastically reduced the price from $125 a month to $150 for the entire year. We're just trying to pay for books, that's it, and stipend those who assist us in the administration of the school. So if you're interested in being a part of the Outlet Leadership Institute, right now it's an online school that meets on Wednesdays starting in September for 8 weeks, and then we'll come back in the spring. There's information in the Bible app. You can click on a link and get more information. Or I think Andy is outside. Andrea Pendergrass, she's the director of all of our education. So that's nursery, that's children's, that's elementary, that's middle and high school. She oversees the programming of that, and she's just been promoted to an assistant principal in APS. I want to give a shout out there. Got qualified folk in position. That's what I'm talking about. So she oversees all of our education. And if you want to know more about Outlet Leadership Institute today, you can do so out on the patio, or you can join us online this Wednesday as my wife and I will lead a session. So if you're online, we'll see you on Wednesday night to go over what year one looks like. Year two, we have a few year twos in the building. You know, hey, how y'all doing? They made it, they made it. They still here, they kicking, hey. And we also have t-shirts as you exit. So let's pray. You all can stand to your feet. We're gonna end in worship. Amen. Lord, have mercy. I can't wait till we get these screens installed, and then our wonderful hosts will do all these announcements. I felt like the announcement lady just now, and then we're going to have chicken in the fellowship hall, in the vestibule. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. As we leave today, as we sow our offering financially, we also want to ask the Lord to receive our worship as we close out as well. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you are and all that you're doing. Father, I pray that you are touching every gift, every person that has decided to partner with us financially, every person who's watching online. Father, we say shalom, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.